The Ultimate Reality, Brahman, Atman, and the World. Throughout the various Upanishads, it is maintained that Brahman is unknowable and indescribable. Nevertheless, the desire to know the Brahman comes from the very presence of Brahman within us. It is the working of this presence within us that we wish to know, and it is by giving heed to this presence that we may know. Brahman resides in the spirit of man and can only be known through spiritual experience, not by logic. Its revelation or realization comes the moment the experiencer, experience, and the experienced presence blend into one single whole, melting away the barriers that separate the subject and the object. In a flash, then, the unknowable and the indescribable gets revealed as the reality of the real. This moment of realization is actually the attainment of self-knowledge, the realization of the unity of Brahman, the universal self, with Atman, the individual self. In other words, the identification of the eternal essence that upholds, pervades, and at the same time encompasses the universe with the same essence which dwells in the spirit of man. To merge into that essence and attain unity with the all-encompassing and all-pervading oneness is to shine forth as Brahman. This is the end of the spiritual journey, the realization that I am Brahman. Thou art Brahman. Everything is Brahman, as Brihadaranyaka and other Upanishads repeatedly assert. This is the highest knowledge, the realization of the self as one with eternity and infinity, unconditioned and self-existent, beyond space and time, beyond causation. This identity between self, Atman, and Brahman is very vividly brought out in the following passage from the Chandogya. This whole universe is Brahman. Let a man in all tranquility meditate on this visible world as beginning, ending, and breathing in the Brahman. Now a man is possessed of will. According to what he wills in this world, so will he be when he has departed from this life. Let him therefore exercise this will. The intelligent, whose body is spirit, whose form is light, whose thoughts are true, whose self is like space, all-pervading and invisible, from whom all works, all desires, all odors, all tastes proceed, he encompasses this whole world. He is without speech and without any concern. He is also my self within the heart, greater than the earth, greater than the sky, greater than the heaven, greater than all these worlds. He from whom all works, all desires, all odors and all tastes proceed, who encompasses all this world, who is without speech and without concern, he, my self within the heart, is that Brahman. Chandogya Upanishad. Brahman is the absolute reality, unchanging and featureless, self-existent and alone. But Brahman is also all this world, the phenomenal world of change and manyness. What is here, visible in the world, the same is there, invisible in Brahman. And what is there, the same is here. He who sees any difference between things here or between Brahman and the world goes from death to death, warns the Katha Upanishad. As a matter of fact, the ultimate reality is integral, encompassing both the ends, the formless and the formed, the changeless and the changing, the imperishable and the perishable. It cannot be apprehended without accepting the reality of both the invisible Brahman and the visible world, as coming from Brahman, Katha Upanishad. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the teacher tells his pupil to meditate on the Supreme Self as a measure spanning earth to heaven and as identical with himself. How do the authors of the Upanishads reconcile this with the repeated depiction of this world as unreal and Brahman alone as real? For instance, a famous Upanishadic prayer says, "Lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to light. Lead me from death to immortality." Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Or again, the Chandogya Upanishad describes our ordinary life experiences in this world as false. They hide from us the ultimate truth. The point is that the Upanishads describe this world as unreal and false only to signify that it ensnares us, or, as the Chandogya Upanishad says, carries away our mind into believing that the phenomenal world of our sense perception is the beginning and end of all truths, that it constitutes the whole truth. Indeed, according to a later story narrated in Chandogya Upanishad, those of the progeny of Prajapati who believe in this doctrine are the asuras, the demons, while those who are able to pierce through the veil of this falsehood and strive to reach the reality beyond, or the reality of the real, are the devas, the divines. The Shvetashvatara Upanishad states that the creation of the illusion that the phenomenal world is the whole reality actually inheres in the world, Vishvamaya, and that freedom from it can only come from meditating on and eventually becoming one with Brahman, which subsumes and joins the two ends, the perishable and the imperishable. Elsewhere it is said, "That immortal Brahman is ahead, that Brahman is behind, that Brahman is right and left. It spreads forth below and above. Brahman alone is all this universe. It is the highest." Mundaka Upanishad. Thus, according to Vedanta, the reality is not only a continuum between the universe and Brahman, it is also hierarchical. What characterizes the hierarchy is that the higher order of reality encompasses the lower. The order of reality that encompasses another is by definition higher, and conversely, that which is encompassed by another is by definition lower. Brahman encompasses all. It is the highest reality. Since the Upanishads, and indeed Vedic literature as a whole, identify numerous intermediate orders of reality between Brahman and the physical world of our sense perception, the same principle of encompassment runs through the whole of this hierarchical continuum. Footnote: the significance of these intermediate realities is mostly cosmological, in relation to the process of the unfolding of Brahman into the universe as we know it. At different places, these intermediate orders are designated differently and with different principles in mind. The distinctions are intricate and technical in nature, and not easy to grasp without recourse to a painstaking and detailed study of the whole of Vedic literature. However, to avoid much confusion, mention can be made here of some of these intermediate identities which recur again and again in the Upanishads. The following list mentions them in descending order, although the reader needs to be aware that this is a highly simplified version of a complex cosmological system. Furthermore, sometimes the two proximate orders, such as Brahman and Purusha, are used almost interchangeably. Brahman, Purusha, the person or the first active spirit or principle, and alongside this, Prakriti, the first substantive principle, Ishvara, the creative spirit, Virat, the cosmic spirit, Hiranyagarbha, the golden egg or the world spirit, Brahma, the world maker, and Prajapati, the progenitor of all creatures, all divinities and deities, Devas, the deities and divines, including the powers underlying heavenly bodies, natural phenomena, senses, and the primal elements of fire, air, water, space, and earth. Pitras, the ancestral spirits, the world of individual beings. End of footnote. Two very seminal constructs of such a reality continuum are offered in Taittiriya and Mandukya Upanishad. The former presents a conception of the individual beings as formed of five sheets: Annamaya, food, matter; Pranamaya, breath, vital functions; Manomaya, mind, will; Vijnamaya, intellect, insight; and Anandamaya, the blissful. These sheets constitute a hierarchical continuum where every succeeding sheath, being subtler than the preceding one, encompasses the other. The fifth encompasses all that is there, and thus links the individual embodied self to the universal self, or Brahman. The Mandukya Upanishad conceives of our reality as a continuum of four hierarchical states of consciousness: Vaishvanara, the wakeful state; Taijasa, the dream state; Prajna, the deep or dreamless sleep state; and Turiya, the consciousness of pure oneness. The Taijasa comprehends the Vaishvanara, the Prajna the Taijasa, and Turiya comprehends all. This is the consciousness of the Supreme Self, which is beyond all the elements and all the letters. There is no commerce with it. It brings all distinctions and developments to end. As such, it is utterly unavailing. It is only peace, repose, and oneness. Mandukya Upanishad. Thus, while in the Upanishads, distinctions are tirelessly made between Brahman and the phenomenal world, the two are not held as dichotomous to one another, as two warring and ever irreconcilable opposites. Instead, the purpose is to underscore the futility of persisting with the belief that what is merely fragmentary and transient is the whole and lasting truth, of mistaking that which is but a passage for the final destination, the point from which it all comes and into which it all ends. It is the point which is not easy to comprehend, and even less so to reach. It is far beyond our senses, our mind, and our intellect. Thus it is said, beyond the senses there are objects. Beyond the objects there is the mind. Beyond the mind there is the intellect. The great self is beyond the intellect. Beyond the great self there is the unmanifest. Beyond the unmanifest, there is Purusha, person, the spirit. Beyond the spirit, there is nothing. That is the goal, end of the journey. Katha Upanishad. The conception of life in this world as a passage and Brahman as the final destination is intimately related to the notions of karma and moksha. Karma itself means act, deed, or work. According to the theory, any action must inevitably result in its fruit corresponding to the nature of the action. Thus, actions in this life must, as their fruition, lead the individual embodied self to be reborn and carry on again with the same cycle of action and birth. There is no escaping from the inexorable logic of karma and interminable births, except through moksha, release, which comes from reaching oneness with the absolute Brahman, from which there is no return to the cycle of births. This is the blissful state, bringing to an end the bondage to karma, which is full of misery and grief.